Welcome to another episode of Dimes and Dozens. I am hanging on by a thread today. Lack of sleep thanks to the tectonic plates throwing a little party at 4:45 a.m. here in L.A. Yeah. Tolliver, you said you slept through that?
Yeah, I actually went to sleep right before it all.
You went to sleep at 4 a.m.?
Yeah, that is often when I go to sleep.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's strange. But I was like, catching up on RuPaul's Drag Race. I was feeling good. I was feeling myself. And then apparently, mere minutes after I passed out, the world...
the world shifted in the most literal way possible.
Yeah. But I also live next to a freeway, so I'm just like, oh, you know.
Oh, a tractor trailer crashed into the Meridian. Oh, again.
So.
Yeah. It literally felt like a huge giant kicked my wall, like kicked my house. It was because earthquakes, for those of you who don't live in California and don't have to live with the fact that you can't trust the earth beneath you, just a quick crash course in earthquakes. They come in kind of two types generally. Also, just a quick aside, how prescient was it that the Kamenetsky brothers brought up last week that earthquake Twitter is like, and then here we are in earthquake Twitter, but there's two kinds. It's like there's the kind that is kind of a slow rumble and it rumbles for a while. And that kind is the kind that I think like knocks shit off shelves and stuff because it's like lasts for a second. Mm-hmm. And then there's the kind that happened last night where it's just like somebody drove a Mack truck into your apartment is what it feels like. It's just like a big thud.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that woke me up at, you know, in the middle of the night and I never quite fell back asleep, you know, to the same degree. So not firing on all cylinders today, but you know what?
Yeah.
California life.
I mean, summer never ends. That is a positive. I woke up to so many texts, and by so many, I mean like three, but that's a lot. That's a lot of texts about an earthquake.
Especially if one of them wasn't your mom. I don't think I've ever gotten three texts in a row that one of them wasn't my mom, unless it was like my birthday or something. Yeah.
And they were all very early. They were like, 6 a.m. I was like, what?
Did you feel that?
What the fuck?
Yeah, well, that's what Twitter is for. It's like I like groggily, you know, heart racing, like leaned over and grabbed my phone and everyone's like, earthquake, earthquake, right. Earthquake, earthquake. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was crazy. But another, you know, crazy life shit. No, I'm just kidding. There wasn't an earthquake tie in here, but it was March Madness. Is March Madness.
Yeah.
So the men's final is tonight, so we won't know the outcome of that. I feel like, honestly, it's one of those things where it's like, the chances that this game is going to be crazier than the Gonzaga UCLA game, like that seems highly unlikely. But that was one of the craziest basketball games I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like not even just college basketball, because I'm not a big college basketball person. I have deep internal qualms with it as the NCAA as an institution. Mm-hmm. And so I've always felt weird about watching, but no, just as a game.
Yeah.
That was so crazy.
Yeah. Cause you told me about it. So I had to play catch up and I went and it was like, it was head spinning. You know what I'm saying?
It was like on fucking like, I don't even know, speed. Yeah, exactly. Or whatever.
I was
trying to think of a more youthful speed. Feels really dated at this. Adderall.
Yeah.
Is that like the
Adderall's
young,
a new one. Absolutely.
The young version, yeah, of speed. I am aging myself so hard right now, but it was just really crazy. And I know that what the game will be remembered for, of course, is like that final shot, because that was one of the craziest buzzer beaters, like OT at the buzzer from half court, just with like defenders all around. I mean, yeah, that was wild. But the game itself leading up to it, mm-hmm, was crazy.
Like a million lead changes. Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so much fun.
And it's also when I'm watching college basketball, one reason I sometimes don't love watching is because everyone is so young that it feels like they're just like mad impulsive, and it drives my anxiety through the fucking roof. It's just like,
yeah. Well, the thing that's hard for me is that, you know, when NBA players lose a game, obviously it's like heartbreaking for them. It's heartbreaking for the fan base. But at the end of the day, they're making millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And they do that. They make this, you know, they make millions of dollars regardless of whether they win or lose. Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's like, okay, they're at work and they had a shitty day at work if they lose, but whatever. These kids, it's like, most of them will not ever make it to playing professional basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they don't get paid for this. So winning is like it. that's the only potential prize, yeah. right? I mean, I guess showcasing yourself for the league, if you're a player that does get a lot of minutes, you know, like the March Madness kind of functions as a showcase for potential employment in the future with the NBA or another international league. But it just really breaks my heart. And so I find myself where I'm just like, I just want both teams to win every game.
Right.
It's really hard for me to watch kids lose, you know, like it's brutal.
Yeah. Obviously this debate has been raging since the dawn of time, but I still don't see what the coherent argument is for not paying them.
There aren't any good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of arguments.
Like your education is your payment ones. Kind of situation. It's like, all right, I got a master's degree. And let me tell you, I live by a freeway, as I've said three times prior to this.
Well, that and also like, cool. So how much is it per year to go to a university like that? Mm-hmm. Like a D1 university, like maybe $30,000 at the most. Like we're raking in millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But one thing that was funny was, or not funny, but you know, I was saying it really hurts to watch someone lose. I heard a lot of people say about that UCLA Gonzaga game on like ESPN and stuff that like no one lost that game. Someone just had to win. 'Cause literally, you know, UCLA tied it up with 3 seconds left in overtime.
Yeah.
So it was headed to double overtime. I mean, it was just going to be like whoever took the last shot basically.
Yeah.
And he just happened to get that shot off and it was like, you know, a combination of luck and skill, obviously. But so I thought that was a cool way to look at it. And I felt that way actually about, so the women's tournament was amazing as well. And like so entertaining. And I felt that way actually about several of the women's games too, where it was like, no one really lost. Like, it's just like somebody had to win. Mm-hmm. It was just super close. And it came down to like, who executed the best, like in the last 10 seconds of the game, yeah. say. But you know, my beloved Paige Buckets got eliminated in the Final Four, which I think is going to be her superhero origin story.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think that you need to have like devastating soul crushing loss to like be truly great.
Yeah.
you need that to humble you and motivate you. And she's sort of had a very charmed, existence as a basketball player. Obviously she was like the number one recruit out of high school. She was like on the cover of Slam magazine as a high school basketball player, and then went to go play for, you know, a super storied program at UConn, and they had like an undefeated season, I think. And
yeah,
so you know, I mean, you need to get kicked in the chest a little bit just to have that humility and to like become the superhero, to become what superhero do you think Paige Beckers would be? I feel like it's like a Captain America vibe, but like she's a little more like she sounds like fucking, when she talks, she sounds like T.I. or something.
Yeah,
like,
she really
it's
does.
Crazy. Her voice doesn't match her appearance at all.
Yeah, when I was looking her up and I saw her at some press conference and I was sitting there with bated breath, like, is she gonna sound black?
You said it, not me, my friend.
I was thinking the whole time, I was just looking
I'm
at her
not
face.
That
I was
all
like,
for myself.
Mm-hmm. I was like, there it is.
So you saw that coming? Because I sure as
no, I didn't.
That.
Well, I, you know, there are hints.
You did if you there if
there
are
hints.
Questions.
There are clues.
Because, okay, she looks like, for those of you who haven't seen what Paige Beckers looks like, Paige Beckers is like this wunderkind, you know, like 19-year-old basketball player who Diana Taurasi, who everyone regards as like the GOAT in the WNBA, is already calling the GOAT. You know, like wow. She's saying she's like she's the best in the sport.
Yeah.
And she's 19. So she's incredible. But she looks like Gretel from Hansel and Gretel. Like she's straight up. She's got long, like flaxen blonde hair.
Yes.
And like my skin tone, which is like borderline see-through.
Translucent.
And she's from Minnesota. She looks like a kid. She looks like she's very much looks like she's from Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was just so funny because she opens her mouth and it's like 8 Mile Eminem. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
who saw this coming?
All right, shouty. All right.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, so I don't know what superhero she would be, but it's definitely her origin story is losing this game, because I don't think she's going to lose another game as long as she lives. Like you could tell that she was just like, oh, this is what it feels like to lose on a, you know, large platform. Like it doesn't feel good. And she didn't have a great game. And it was the same thing with Ari McDonald, who was also incredible this tournament. And Ari is the one who eliminated Paige, actually. It was Arizona versus UConn, and Arizona like narrowly won to go on to the championship, which was fucking cool because like their coach is amazing, Adia Barnes. Iconic, literally was breastfeeding at halftime in the women's championship game. Like nothing cooler has ever happened or ever will. But she was in the W and she just seems like an amazing coach. Like she, I didn't see her like, you know, coaches at some point will like, they'll like lose their temper at their team. Mm-hmm. If it's like a close game, they'll be like, you got to get your head in the game, whatever. Like she never lost her cool. She just seems very like, wonderful mm-hmm. to play for. But anyway, but so she seemed really cool. Ari McDonald fucking is a beast. She's 5'6", absolutely incredible. But yeah, so they won that game with UConn, but then Ari McDonald had a bad game against Stanford in the final mm-hmm. and then they ended up losing that one, and she had a chance to take, she had like a buzzer beater three that she took with three defenders on her. That was very similar to the Suggs buzzer beater from the men's game, but she missed it, which is like brutal.
Yeah.
But that sucks. Like the, you know, when you're Ari or when you're Paige and you have a bad game and like the really important game, like that's really painful. But I think that's also like so motivating because then you come back and you're like, it gives you so much fuel for the next year. So
yeah, it's always impressive. You know, watching any sport, I feel like the resilience you see, and especially from people that young. I mean, when I think about myself at 19, it's like, baby, it's
like, oh my God,
everything was the world. Everything is still means the world to me, you know, like every sort of setback or whatever.
It was so long ago that I can't even really remember what I was doing.
Was I ever 19?
Yeah. Like what was that? It's so crazy.
People's kids are old, you know, like there are people who are younger than that gap. You know what I'm saying? There's like 13-year-olds who exist on Earth. It's crazy.
Yeah.
but also I wanted to point out, because you said that Paige is from Minnesota, which I didn't know. And I was like, oh, her and Jalen, you know, Suggs.
Her and Jalen Suggs are both from Minnesota and they're friends.
Oh.
Which is, I think, probably the coolest. This is like, forget the Timberwolves. This is the most promising storyline in Minnesota basketball by far. Now that the Lynx are sort of like back into being like a slightly mediocre team. They're not the most dominant team in the W anymore. Mm-hmm. At least I'll say that. But yeah, you've got the two most promising young prospects on the men's and women's side are both from Minnesota, pretty amazing.
Okay.
So I've heard people be like, oh, like, I hope they both come back to Minnesota. And I'm like, I definitely get it.
Stop.
But for their sake, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Are you
going to
go
all
back?
That's all I have to say.
Are you going back to Minnesota?
Not to the Timberwolves.
Sometimes I think about it. Sometimes I think, well, what if I, you know, just got myself a nice house in Bemidji?
That's the only time I think about it is because I'm currently apartment hunting again. Because I am cursed to live in a constant state of looking on Zillow every day. And when I look at what my options are in my budget here versus what I could get, I could pay a mortgage mm-hmm. on a small house in Minneapolis for what I pay for like a decrepit one bedroom in Los Angeles. It's fucked up.
Yeah, my friend just bought a house and we have the same job. He's like, I just
so
bought a
many
house.
People just buy houses there. It's just a thing you can do.
I'm like,
it's wild. In so much of the country, actually, you forget when you live in a city like LA or New York that it's super feasible to own property when you don't live in one of these cities. It's like, it's not impossible. Like normal people do that on a regular basis.
That's wild. And people get macheted in my neighborhood often. Like, what's going on?
Machete, like it's fucking 1762. Like, who's using that as a weapon? I shouldn't complain because any alternative to gun violence is probably good.
That's true.
But living in this country, you're just like, oh, it's a machete. Oh, that's sweet.
Absolutely.
Provincial, you know.
as you're bleeding out, you're like, oh,
you're just like your arm is doing that thing in cartoons where it just like spurts. Oh,
worth it.
It's dark. I don't know how to transition to the next topic, so I'm just gonna start talking.
Naturally, it's Space Jam, right?
It's Space Jam. You know, blood spurting out of arms, kind of like what happens in Space Jam. I guess speaking of things that are unhinged,
this is
what would have been the transition. I can't wait to see that fucking movie.
Yeah,
it looks incredible. It also looks like unhinged is the only word I can think of. It looks like someone took way too much acid.
Yeah.
And just went with it.
It's like they were like, okay, so what are the possibilities of, you know, animation and CGI? Let's do them all. Yeah. Like, let's just do everything with no...
It's like they had an enormous budget from Warner Brothers, and they're like, damn, we don't need this much. And then the director's like, okay, well, we have it, though, so, like, what should we do? And it's like, okay, well, let's license every cartoon that's ever been, and let's license, like, it was, like, every... There was, like, a Scooby-Doo, the whole cast of Scooby-Doo cameo. There was, like... The fucking cast of The Sopranos has probably brought James Gandolfini back from the dead, like... And then they have like cameos by like Damian Lillard and, Clay Thompson and, some other, W and NBA players. And it's like, and they, you know, those dudes, like that can't be cheap to get a cameo from them because their pay bracket is like in the millions of dollars.
I was shocked because they canceled Pepe Le Pew. He's done. We heard about that a while ago.
Hashtag canceled.
But they left the gun-toting guy.
Right, and featured it prominently in the trailer. I noticed that, too. I was like, I'm glad we're canceling cartoon characters, you know, whatever, wink, nod. I'm glad we're canceling them for you know, harassing women. But you have a punchline about, like, a white, you know, like, southern man shooting the shit out of somebody.
Mistake.
Like, how is that? Not only how is that making the movie, but how is that one of the like few moments you decided to feature in the like 3 minute long trailer that you have?
Yeah, I definitely like, saw it. I went, huh.
It's like, what's funnier than gun violence? Am I right?
Disney or something. What? I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean,
Paul Pierce. No, sorry, I'm just jumping.
You can only ask. You can only ask for so much from your. Disney. Is it Disney or is that? I think it's a Warner Brothers movie,
yeah,
right?
Right. So, yeah.
Because the Looney Tunes are Warner Brothers.
You know, that's all, folks.
That's all, folks. Yeah. Yeah, can't wait to see it. It comes out in July. I'm like, will I feel comfortable being in a movie theater by then? Like, I'm fully vaccinated. I'm past my 2 week period. I have superpowers now.
Nice. I'm on day
and
three.
So, you want to get three shots?
No.
I thought about being like, do you guys want to just give me the Moderna when you have an extra, just in case, just as a backup?
Yeah.
I remember when I went to get a flu shot this year because I was just like, I'm not fucking around with any illnesses. Like, you know, give me all of the immunity. Yeah. And when I went to go get my flu shot, there was a guy. I went and it was in a Target. It was like at a Target pharmacy. And a guy walked by, like literally while I'm shirt down, needle about to go in arm. And he like asks the pharmacist and he's like, if I already got my flu shot, but like if I get another one, will I become like more immune? And she was like, no.
It's like the 20th person to ask her that day. She's like, no, no, you idiots.
That's not how that works at all. Kind of reminds me, like, speaking of idiots, people being like, oh my God, these like vaccine passports to travel, like this is so fucked up. And I'm like, congratulations for informing everyone that you've never traveled because
yeah, it's a whole thing.
You've always needed vaccines to travel. Internationally,
exactly.
Like, you can't go anywhere without vaccines in the world.
Yeah, I want to I wanted to give a quick shout out because I got my second dose on Friday.
Nice,
and,
congrats!
Thank you. And the people work. It was at El Sereno Recreation Center, and let me tell you, it was a fucking party. They were super nice. They're like, "Hey, babe," you know.
Wait,
I won't do the impression.
What denomination are you going to offend?
These were like, you know, it was like black women, you know what I'm saying, running this fucking joint. And they were like super.
Okay, so that's the only one that you can do. So go for it.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I can do this one. But it was super tight. And then we were like in the tent and they were like, let's do the chicken dance.
Are you fucking kidding
me? Not kidding. And then as people would stand up, their 15 minutes would pass, they would clap. They'd be like, clap for him. He's taking care of his health. He's looking out for everybody in the community and getting a shot. And we would all cheer for everybody.
Oh, my God. That sounds like the literal opposite of when I got my vaccine. But I was just so excited to get it that I didn't ask any questions or, like, care.
Yeah.
But mine was, like, very... Not, I wouldn't say dystopian. It was pretty well run, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't stay the whole 15 minutes. I'm a rebel, I say. I stayed for like 5 minutes and I was like, fuck that. If I pass out of my car, I pass out of my car. I'm out of here.
Okay, so she skipped class. We get it.
So, when I was getting my shot, there was there was, it was like at a kind of like public clinic in South Central. Mm-hmm. And, it was one of those things where it was just like, they have extra shots if you can be there today. And I'm just like, and say less. But so when I was sitting in the chair, I noticed, like pamphlets for different services they offer at the clinic, and they had acupuncture. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, this clinic in South Central offers acupuncture. Like, that's very LA and really cool. And so I said to the like nurse or whatever who was preparing my shot, I was like, oh, you do acupuncture here. Cool. Meaning like the clinic, right?
Yeah.
Like, and she's just like, oh, no, I don't. No, I don't even work here. I'm just here administering the shots. And I was like, I didn't think that you personally did acupuncture. And she just looked at me like, no, of course I don't do acupuncture. I'm like an RN. What are you talking about?
Why would I know what you do personally here? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, and like, why would I be talking like, oh, you do acupuncture? Like, because you're holding a needle and that's how that works, right? She's like,
this woman's delirious.
So there was no dance party or anything.
Yeah.
But there was like a palpable in the waiting room when everyone was waiting. There was just like a palpable sense of like collective relief and happiness of all of us being like, oh my God, like we're vaccinated.
Yeah.
Like this nightmare is coming to an end.
Yeah.
At least temporarily.
Live music is back April 15th.
Yeah. It's going to be a long time before I want to go to a show. I'm going to be real with you. Like,
but what if it
there's
was
a lot of things I want to do, but
what if it was Rihanna though? Like, what if, you know, it's like,
I would go to a Rihanna concert. Okay. I would risk, I'd risk it all for Rihanna.
And also they're like, you have to prove that you're vaccinated. To get into these shows. Like,
cool.
That's like the new rule.
No problem.
Yeah. But
happy to do that.
But I'm like, all I have is this card.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about the card, because this is the flimsiest piece of shit little card.
I have a card.
It's made out of the same material as like a nice envelope, it feels like. Yeah. And this is, I'm like, I heard people being like, should we laminate it? But then it's like, well, what if down the line you have to like get a booster shot, which you definitely will, because people are refusing to take the vaccine. So like, they're going to have to update this shit. Yeah. We're going to have a software update at some point. Otherwise our 5G won't work.
Exactly.
But, so they're like, oh, if you need to update the card, you shouldn't laminate it. But yeah, I don't carry it with me. I just have it in my desk, but I'm like, you know, I'd be nervous if it became a thing where you had to show it all the time, because I'd be like, and they're not going to let you show photos of it, because then you could just Photoshop that shit. It would be so easy.
Yeah. Because the card will get worn out if I'm carrying it with me every day. So I have it in like the little box where I keep my marijuana, my precious
things.
You have it in your
bedside drawer. It's like weed, condoms, sex toys.
Yeah.
COVID vaccination card.
And it's like, you know, the day is coming where you're like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to go to this thing. Oh my God, I left my COVID card, you know, my vaccination card, you know, that bullshit. God damn.
And so the thing is like, do they have a record of this somewhere?
I don't think they do.
If I lose it, is there any proof that I got vaccinated anywhere?
Exactly. My friend was like, yeah, well, they probably told your primary healthcare provider. I'm like, they didn't. I promise you. They just wrote it down on a card.
They didn't. I'm not even convinced they knew my name, to be honest. They also, I don't know because yours sounds like a very idyllic vaccine situation, but I don't know if they told you anything.
No.
But they didn't. If I hadn't educated myself about the fact that there were going to be side effects, or the fact that I did the Johnson & Johnson, it takes 2 weeks before you're immune. Mm. Like all these things that I learned on my own just because I like researched like crazy, I would never know. Like, they didn't say anything. I walked in, you know, showed them my, you know, my appointment number, blah, blah, sat down, got stabbed in the arm. They're like, okay, just go wait for 15 minutes. They didn't give me any aftercare. They didn't warn me about any side effects.
Yeah. That's wild. They literally had like rounds they were doing. They were checking in on us. How you doing? You still feeling okay? Can I get you anything? Like,
yeah, well, that's because you went to the fucking like Disney movie of vaccine.
It was crazy.
Places.
I felt so good leaving there. I was like, wow, I feel truly cared for.
The thing that worried me was like, so I knew that it would be 2 weeks before I'd be immune, right? And so I couldn't just like go be reckless or something, because that was like, it doesn't do anything like right away. But no one got told that. So I'm like, what are the chances that all of these people took it upon themselves to do this research and knew that they could still get infected or infect someone for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah. I literally learned it from like a dude I was talking to on the internet.
Yeah, like it's just so irresponsible. I'm like, there should just, how hard would it be to print out a little aftercare piece of paper and be like, cool, it's going to be 2 weeks before you're immune. You're probably going to have flu-like symptoms tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, that seems like pretty rudimentary.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They give you more information after you get a tattoo than they do after you get the fucking COVID vaccine. Like, I know all of the different, like, unscented soaps and shit that I'm supposed to be using with my tattoos, but I couldn't tell you shit about what I'm supposed to do after I got vaccinated for a deadly virus. So that seems a little
sounds very backwards. American, to be honest.
Yeah. Best country on earth.
It's not going great.
Jinx. Okay. Well, let's talk a little NBA, shall we? Not a ton happened this week, but Drew Holiday secured the bag. Mm-hmm. So congrats to him. That's a shit ton of money. He signed a 4-year, $135 million contract with potential bonuses to make it a $160 million contract in 4 years. So for those of you at home who are bad at math, that's a $40 million a year contract potentially with bonuses.
Yeah.
That is bananas. Jesus. I mean, Drew Holiday is great. He seems like one of the most wonderful people in the league. And like, I'm so happy for him and his family that he like secured that money. But from like a strategizing standpoint, like, would you pay Drew Holiday 4 years, $135 million? I mean, I guess it's like what the market demands. There's just not a lot out there for point guards, but,
yeah,
a lot of money.
I was
a lot of money.
Seeing some analysis that was basically like, if they had just kept Malcolm Brogdon, you know, they wouldn't be in this situation. It would have been a lot more cost effective.
That's one of the most letting him walk is like one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Yeah. Like he was so important to that team.
Exactly. And they were like, Drew Holiday doesn't have the most sterling like health record, you know, of all time.
Right. Speaking of health, Gordon Hayward fucked up his leg again. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. Just catching strays.
Exactly. He deserves it, honestly. Mm-hmm. It had to have been Giannis who wanted that, right? It just, you know, it doesn't scream prudent to me, but whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, also the implications for what that means for our very own Lakers and Dennis Schroeder's contract, because he turned down the $84 million. And now it's looking like, well, yeah, the market is Drew Holiday gets 4 years, 135. It's understandable why Schroeder turned down 84. And the Lakers can't afford to just like go get someone else next year. So they really need to sort of give him whatever he wants. And they're going to have to overpay pretty much because he's not worth more than that, I don't think. But he is in the sense of like what the market will demand for him.
Yeah.
So... damn it. I wish there was a world in which they could get Steph Curry. I know that that's just a stupid internet joke gone awry, but like, I don't even like, you know, God bless AD, love him, but like LeBron and Steph together, like after all the years of them battling, I just feel like that would be such a cool end to the story. Like if LeBron ended his career with Steph Curry, I don't know. That'd be so fucking cool.
Well, people watching them play in the All-Star game, there was definitely a feeling of synergy.
And it was so cute and wholesome. Mm-hmm. I loved it. But it's not going to happen. There's no way.
I wonder if Steph Curry's all in that Space is to Jam. Say it's,
so I don't think Steph Curry is in Space Jam. It's Damian Lillard, Klay Thompson, AD is in it. Then Diana Taurasi and Onyeka Ogunbowale from the W.
Damn, you crushed that.
That's who they showed in the trailer, at least. Yeah. I don't know if there's anyone else in there, but super. Yeah, as aforementioned, cannot wait for the jam. Can't wait to slam and to be welcomed back into the jam, as it were.
I know we've passed the Space Jam topic, but I also needed to remark on LeBron's acting.
It looked good, right?
No.
No? I thought his acting was surprisingly good.
I liked him in that Amy Schumer movie. I forget what it was called, but he was in, you know, he's in an Amy Schumer movie a while back.
I didn't
back.
See it because I've never seen an Amy Schumer movie.
I've seen...
Nor would I on purpose.
I've seen almost all of them. Isn't that crazy?
I can't stand her.
Yeah, and I that does, you know, that sounds reasonable.
That tracks.
Yeah, exactly. But he was good in that. And then in this, I felt like... you know, the acting against nothing was kind of getting to him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was watching the trailer, was like, that would be so hard as like a first time or like, you know, someone new to acting to have to act against a green screen with like no other actors around you. Because that's difficult for like, you know, professional actors who do this all the time. So I thought that he looked like he did a really good job considering how difficult that would be. Yeah. But I also thought Michael Jordan did a great job in Space Jam. So like the bar is not very high for me to be impressed. Okay. So just real quick, cause I don't want to talk about this for very long because it's depressing, mm-hmm. but the Nets new acquisitions seem to be working pretty well.
That's great.
Good for them, right? Just a little upstart team from Brooklyn.
I don't want them to win the title. Like, I don't want that. Don't, come on.
I don't either, but barring catastrophe. I mean, because, you know, it looked, we're like, what's LaMarcus Aldridge going to do? What's Blake Griffin going to do? And it's like, oh, exactly what they need?
Ugh, so disrespectful. Okay.
I keep forgetting, this is real, I keep forgetting that they have Spencer Dinwiddie and Kevin Durant sitting on the bench.
Yeah, I forgot about
Spencer. Because they're so good. Like, they're so good without... I mean, the other night they didn't have James Harden and they were terrible, but that they didn't have any of their stars, you know? But you've got... They have LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, Spencer Dinwiddie, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. And Joe Harris, who's like an amazing three-point shooter, all on one team.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, dude?
Poor Jared Allen. You know?
Yeah, and they sent him to Cleveland to die.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just rotting in Cleveland, and they're fucking clearly about to be in the finals.
Rotting in Cleveland with that majestic afro.
Yeah.
Where? What city could be less equipped to appreciate Jared Allen and his amazing hair than Cleveland, Ohio? Like, he deserves better.
What a
better.
Punishment. Whatever.
Anyway, they're probably going to get to the finals, mm-hmm. barring, like, complete... I mean, they are going to get to the finals.
Yeah.
But unless something... unforeseen and crazy happens. But the thing about how deep their roster is that, like, even if one or two crazy things happen, they'll probably still get to the final.
I know.
It would take a lot. It would take a lot to derail this train.
It's a cheat code. It's too much. There's too much talent on that team. It's like,
it is a cheat code.
The fun, you know, sucks the fun. I mean, obviously the potential Lakers showdown is always, you know, sort of an exciting prospect.
If they're healthy.
But I'm looking at the East and I'm like,
oh, hell no. No, I was going to ask, like, the cheat code question. I was like, do you remember in the OG Sims, some sort of cheat code you could get, like, unlimited money? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that. I never really dove too hard into the Sims, but I was very into the nudity.
There was a lot. You could make that very NSFW if you wanted to. But there was some sort of cheat code. It was like, whatever. I don't even remember. I don't remember. I was a child. But you could do to get, like... cheat and get like millions of dollars to spend, and I remember my Sims just like went ham, mm-hmm. and that's what it feels like the Brooklyn Nets did.
It's too much. At some point, you got to be like, we don't need LaMarcus Aldridge. It's unfair.
At some point, you just need to have some humility and let the other teams have somebody. Also, you know, I know you talked about a potential Lakers Nets matchup, and that seems like destiny if everyone's healthy. But I don't know what curse the Lakers incurred this year when it comes to injuries, but it's been so we've got the best player on the team, Jared Dudley, is out for the season. You've got, you know, second best player LeBron James,
right,
out with an ankle injury. You've got AD is still out, and then now Andre Drummond, he looked great in his first like quarter playing, and then by halftime Brooke Lopez had accidentally ripped his toenail off, I believe. So he can't even put a shoe on. Right? So it's Monday today, Monday, April 5th. He can't even put his shoe on, according to Coach Vogel. So who knows how long that'll take. And then Wes Matthews, not like he was like bawling out of his mind. He was, you know, probably a minus on the court. Mm-hmm. But he got hurt as well. I'm just like, what is going on with this team?
Yeah.
Also, Adam Silver, you will pay.
Mm-hmm.
You will pay.
It's the curse.
In, if nothing else, but in karma for the, like, is it a, wonder if it's a coincidence that everyone's fucking injured this year, Adam Silver.
Exactly. Yep.
The most tenacious, durable players in the league are all managing to get injured. Like,
yeah,
wonder,
the 20
wonder
second
why
break.
That's happening.
Yeah, exactly. They had zero time to
you
rest.
You fucking soulless hack. Like, I hate you so much.
Yeah, it's really not great to watch. And I, for some reason in my head, I thought AD was going to be coming back soon. Just because he's been gone forever. I'm like, Dad, where's the milk? You know what I'm saying? Like, please.
I love how all of your humor goes back to your childhood trouble with your father. It's very niche, but I personally appreciate it as someone who grew up without a dad. It's like, it's right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, dads. You know, always dads gone. And
how they're never there. That's relatable to everyone, right?
What's up with
that
dads?
That doesn't have to do with our personal trauma. Nobody had a dad.
Nobody had a dad. Come on. Just quit playing.
What's a dad?
Quit playing games.
Oh my God.
I did win like a writing contest when I was like, you know, third grade or whatever. It was like what my father means to me, but I wrote it about my uncle because my dad wasn't there.
Oh.
Or sixth grade, whatever. So we got to go to this like White Sox game and we got unlimited hot dogs.
What a prize. What the fuck? It was the 90s in Chicago and they're like, I know the team for you. It's amazing. That's so emblematic of our lives too, Tolliver. It's like, oh, so I got tickets too. The White Sox.
All I remember is the hot dogs. Mad hot dogs.
What else is there to remember? I don't really know what notable White Sox moment you would have missed exactly.
So when AD left...
It reminded me of my deadbeat dad.
Reminded me of my deadbeat dad. Yes. So
who among us?
Yeah. So he's not coming back anytime soon. Andre Drummond.
I feel like LeBron is the dad.
Yeah.
No?
You're right.
AD is like the cool older brother or something.
Yeah. Well, they're both gone. damn. That God. I like inhaled deeply after I said that in a way that scares me.
They're both gone.
I was like.
Long pause. Will you edit in like a 30-second silent break right there? As if we're both sitting in silence.
Yeah, absolutely. I can do that.
The Lakers just, yeah, they're cursed. And I hope that everyone is in a wrapped in bubble wrap, as it were. Oh, bubble wrap.
Oh, wow.
You see what I did there unintentionally? Mm-hmm. My mind. I hope that they're very careful with everyone moving on. Also, I watched them last night. They were on national TV. Mm. Looking like absolute garbage against the Clippers. And it's like, yeah, again, Adam Silver, like, oh, all your national TV games are fucking blowouts and so boring because all of the most important people are injured. Hope you're happy.
Yeah. Have there ever been this many blowouts? Like, I swear to God.
No, because everyone's fucking hurt.
Yeah.
Everyone's hurt. But I was watching and Alex Caruso was so bad, like so embarrassingly bad. And I was just watching it and it was like watching a train wreck in slow motion. I was just like, this is the team. This is the team. This is what it is right now. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Just Alex Caruso like trying to show off with a behind the back pass and turnover after turnover after turnover. Like, yeah, that's what it is.
I'm thrilled. I love watching Rajon Rondo, date our ex or something like that. You know, he's on the other team. What's a good way to say that? I love watching Rajon Rondo completely betray us, fully Brutus us, Judas us.
He has no, moral.
There's no loyalty. Though.
I mean, he was on the Celtics and then he went to go win a championship with the Lakers. Like, he doesn't give a
There's
fuck.
There's no loyalty. He doesn't give a shit.
I don't believe that players need to be loyal to franchises. I think that's bullshit. Like, franchises aren't loyal to players.
No, absolutely not.
Why should players have to be loyal to franchises? Like, go get your money.
Yeah.
Wherever. Or your happiness. Honestly, like, you know, either one. Because, like, obviously, you know, they offered, for example, like in Houston, they offered Victor Oladipo a max contract. And he got paid way more than he is going to make in Miami. But... you know, sometimes happiness is first. So go follow your bliss, whether your bliss is a overflowing bag of money or just a team that might actually have a chance or whatever. Like, fuck, you know, loyalty to a team, because who cares? Speaking of the Celtics and that era of Rajon Rondo's career, pretty entertaining little moment on social media this week. Paul Pierce got fucking blitzed and went on IG Live and was just hanging out with strippers. It's incredible. I mean, I can only imagine the awkwardness in like the pre-show meeting of the jump this week when he's Like, so Paul, yeah, had a good weekend there, did you? But the best part about it was, so that was like, you know, the wee hours of the morning, right? And he was obviously on like a bender. Mm-hmm. And then the next day at 7:50 p.m., he tweeted, "Good morning," with no punctuation or anything, which is just...
With a throbbing headache.
The throbbing headache. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, Paul Pierce has always been, it just kind of seems a little bit like a reckless person, which I've always enjoyed.
Yeah.
But goddamn, bro. Just like, it's wild. It's wild feeling the need that you have to like show off that you were strippers, because to be honest, I just assume that that happens.
Right. That's sort of just like the unspoken truth of the NBA. Like, if you're not playing, you're probably with strippers.
Yeah. You got hella money.
Or your
money.
Family. Or both.
And, like, it's part of the vibe. So, I don't know.
I think that someone was saying that he thought that you could do a close friends IG live, which is amazing.
No, you can't. But, hey, I'm glad he's having a good time. I guess if you're enjoying life, that's great. But
I just thought, I loved the, like, self-deprecating, like, good morning tweet at 8 p.m. Like, I just thought that was, that made me like him, actually. I don't really like Paul Pierce, but that made me kind of like him to be like, yeah, so about last night, guys. Sorry about the strippers. Whoops.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm sure Disney loved it.
I know. I was going to say, a sterling employee of the Walt Disney Corporation.
Disney's
here.
All about it.
Yeah. I mean, Disney is the one also that, like, the second that the stars of their children's programs turn legal, that they market them as sex symbols. So yeah. I don't know if they could really talk much.
Good point.
You know? Well, another action-packed week in the league, mm-hmm. in the association. Here we are.
Congrats to Drew Holiday.
Congrats to Drew Holiday, bro. For securing the bag. Congrats to Paul Pierce for still having a job as of 11 a.m. on Monday. Congrats to the Brooklyn Nets for cheating. I'm just kidding. and congrats to Jalen Suggs for the all-time coolest March Madness shot ever.
And congrats to Minnesota for
having some talent. That'll probably flee and run with the wind
this week. Yeah.
We will talk to you next week.
Adios.
Adios.